Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you had a wonderful weekend and you're having a great start to your Monday. It is Monday, June 28th. We are nearly halfway through the 2021 calendar year. It's been a nice turn of events, obviously, from what 2020 was, and it's nice to see things continuing to improve across the world and across the sports world as well, things continuing to get back to normal. And so we've got plenty to talk about, obviously. In today's episode, we will be talking about the combine. The draft combine was this past week. Plenty of news came out. What news specifically focused on the Grizzlies? There were a few prospects that came out having been connected with the Grizzlies via interviews or workouts. We'll discuss that a bit more, as well as some other nuggets from the draft combine in the first segment of today's show. And staying with the youth that's on the Grizzlies currently, in our player review series, we will focus on Desmond Bain and Xavier Tillman, the rookie duo who made a big impact for the Grizzlies this year. Looking forward to what roles they will have continuing to move forward based off their successful seasons this past year. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever it's available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, wherever you listen to podcasts. My name is Sean Coleman. I'm a credentialed media member of the Grizzlies. I have been covering the Grizzlies for 3 years now over at Grizzly Bear Blues, have been your Locked On Grizzlies podcast host now for nearly 18 months. Enjoy every single day that I get to do this because this is the one place where every day you can get the latest Grizzlies news, insight, and perspectives, and honest truth, your Grizzlies every day here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And also want to say thank you. It was a nice surprise over the weekend for my Twitter account at StatsSAC earned verification on Twitter. It was nice to see a lot of the compliments and kind words. Thank you very much. It's nice to see that occur. So it was a nice surprise over the weekend to see that. Obviously look forward to making the most of it by offering you continued great content when it comes to the Grizzlies, the NBA, and sports in general. Of course, we want to remind you of our title sponsor for today's show, which is Spotify Green Room, formerly Locker Room. Every Thursday night at 8, we will host Locked On Grizzlies Spotify Green Room. Let's talk Grizzness, talking all things Grizzlies, obviously, when it comes to the NBA. The NBA playoffs are wrapping up. Plenty of fun action as both series have certainly become competitive, though the Suns are up 3-1. Now the Bucks are up 2-1. They have been competitive games, and so it will be a lot of fun to see how the NBA playoffs will pan out. But let's get right to it when it comes to the Grizzlies. So we're now 1 day away from being a month away from the NBA draft. This coming up Thursday, which will be July 1st, we will officially be 4 weeks out from the NBA draft, which will be on July 29th. And in honor of that, every Monday, the first segment of every Monday's episode, we're going to do Mock Draft Monday, looking at where several prospects are being connected to the Grizzlies among, you know, the more, you know, recognizable or reputable sites. We'll look at what picks are being made for the Grizzlies at 17. We'll get into that starting next Monday. As far as this Monday goes, I want to talk a bit about some of the news that came out from the NBA Combine. There were all the major rookies. Well, you know, several of the draft prospects that are going to be drafted in the first round. They were in Chicago, all worked out, scrimmages. You know, you saw a lot of positive news about several big names, you know, beyond, you know, the top three or four. You know, the consensus top basically four are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Suggs. Didn't really hear much about them, but you did hear things about Jonathan Kamin, Scotty Barnes, Keon Johnson, and others. You also started to get an idea of what teams are specifically looking at which targets. As several outlets that are on Twitter, they were able to put connect the dots and find out which prospects either interviewed or worked out with certain teams. Now, there wasn't many connections with the Grizzlies. However, you know, we've heard, you know, one connection that was there that the Grizzlies were looking to work out, Cameron Crutwig from Loyola Chicago, obviously a very versatile big man, you know, passing things such as that, you know, from, you know, his career at Loyola Chicago. But that was more for kind of, you know, probably, you know, maybe a two-way contract or something like that. He's more of a player that you would project to the hustle, you know, maybe as an undrafted, you know, free agent. But there were are some notable names that were connected to the Grizzlies this week, either through interviews or for workouts. Three names that were connected to Memphis were Trey Murphy, the third, who is a wing out of Virginia, Miles McBride, a guard out of West Virginia, and then Jericho Sims, who is a power forward center out of Texas. Now, it's not surprising to see these names connected with Memphis, because when you look at these three names, one thing that stands out is that all three of them certainly check a lot of boxes when it comes to what the Grizzlies typically look for. Murphy, McBride, and Sims all project as being having good to significant defensive upside in the NBA. And we're not just talking about, you know, just playing good defense. We're talking about impact when it comes to momentum-shifting plays through turnovers. We're talking about general defense as well. And the other thing is that the Grizzlies are spreading their attention out. McBride is a 6'2 guard. Murphy is a 6'9 wing, while Jericho Sims, obviously, is a 6'10, 6'11, 245 post player. The big thing about it is that also you see that with McBride and Murphy, there's a lot of upside when it comes to three-point shooting, especially with Murphy, who has an off-ball catch-and-shoot target, has tremendous upside as a three-point shooter, a very, very good three-point shooter, numbers very similar to what Desmond Bane produced in his senior year at TCU. Murphy did that this past year at Virginia, and doing that in a 6'9 body really stands out. Now, the unique thing is that none of these players are, you know, really ranked or are they, you know, projected right now to fall into where the Grizzlies are going to pick when it comes to pick number 17. Right now at ESPN.com, there's a ton of different databases where you can rank certain where players are ranked in terms of big boards for this draft. But in general, at ESPN.com, right now, Trey Murphy is ranked 29th, Miles McBride is ranked 30th, and Jericho Sims is ranked 72nd. So it would make sense that McBride and Trey Murphy are there for the Grizzlies, maybe for consideration at 17, while Sims may be the option at 51. But of course, we know the Grizzlies, you know, as they've shown over the past 2 years when it comes to the draft, very aggressive. They may not stay at 17. But the thing is that you start to see these players, their projections, it makes you think that, you know, maybe the Grizzlies will trade back. Potentially they could, you know, even if they were to trade up from 17, maybe these are a few targets that they'll look to trade back into the first round of this year's draft to get. There was reports, especially, Sunday or Saturday, that Murphy was even getting mid-round, you know, consideration. I think what that simply was based off of is that there was a couple of teams who were picking in the teens that wanted to talk to Murphy. And you could see yourself, he seems to be a draft riser, you could see yourself making it make sense for Murphy to be there as the Grizzlies pick at number 17. But it'll be interesting to see what plays out. Don't forget, last year, last offseason, when the Grizzlies made their draft picks, it came out a few days before that they had worked out Tyrell Terry, who was a very, very good shooting prospect from Stanford. And while that didn't necessarily mean that they were going to pick Terry, it lets you know what they're looking for. And that certainly seems to be the case once again. They're looking for good defensive upside in a player, as well as someone that can make their shots. And that's obviously what McBride and Murphy and Sims can do. But the other thing is that they're also continuing to look at players who have multiple years of college experience and players who also have shown increased production, increased improvement over their college careers as well. We've talked about it this year. I've talked about it on Twitter. I'll talk about it much more as we obviously go through July talking about different prospects the Grizzlies could consider during our prospect profiles. It seems like this is a year where the Grizzlies, hopefully, this is the closest to the lottery they'll pick for several years to go into the future, so you'd love for them to make an upside swing. But it still seems like the Grizzlies are really focusing on wanting to balance production with potential. And so while it may be a reach to see McBride, you know, as an option at number 17, Murphy certainly could make sense, but it'll be interesting to see what other prospects continue to be connected to the Grizzlies as time goes on. Though you'd love to see them make an upside pick, especially if one of these younger freshman wings were to fall to them, as other players may be picked higher than most project in the lottery, so on and so forth. You also certainly know that there is a trend when it comes to the Grizzlies picking older prospects that they feel can reach higher than expected ceilings, and the Grizzlies have allowed for them to do that. It seems like a Trey Murphy or a Miles McBride falls into that category. So it's very eye-opening, in my opinion, to see that them still be connected to players that certainly fit the profile of previously players that they've drafted, and Brandon Clark, Desmond Bane, as well as Xavier Tillman. Wouldn't read too much into this as being these guys that the Grizzlies are truly locked in to take at 17, but I do think that the Grizzlies are certainly focused on a certain type of player, a two-way player with very good shooting potential and a guard or a wing and a good defensive upside as a big. And I also think that these are names that are going to be worth watching if the Grizzlies, you know, number one, if they were to make a pick, if they were to trade up to make a pick in the draft this year, maybe to get up in the late lottery or something like that, these names and Murphy and McBride and Sims, these may be names that the Grizzlies may be wanting to trade up for later on in the first round or trade up in the second round to get as well. So wouldn't read too much into these names, would read more into the Grizzlies continuing their trend of looking for that type of player with experience, with two-way potential, and who was productive in college. I think these are some very interesting names to watch, and I certainly think that the connection with Trey Murphy is something to watch. As we all know, it seems like this is a great draft to go with a wing with upside, and Trey Murphy certainly would fit that bill. But one of the reasons why we know this is where the Grizzlies typically go when it comes to what they're focused on in rookies is because of what they've shown in their preferences towards rookies in the past, and they've made the most of those preferences by having these rookies produce much better than expected in their debut seasons. No better example of that this past year than Desmond Bane. Coming up, we're going to look a bit more into his successful first year in Memphis and what his role could be going forward, a very important role for this Grizzlies team that's going to continue to need to involve in featuring shooting as the future goes on. They say that breakfast is the most important part of the day, and I can certainly agree with that. And you probably want to start your day off in a good way, right? Something that tastes good, but also something that adds health benefits to your day as well. One of the best ways to do that is a good tasting protein bar. The best one out there right now is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. Maybe even have it before or after a workout. But whenever you choose to have it, it's certainly going to make your day better. You can go to BuiltBar.com right now and choose from over 18 different flavors of Built Bar. The great thing is that if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, also you can put in the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Once you make Built Bar a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. You can go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Coming up tomorrow on our player review series, we're going to focus on looking at the rest of the two-guard position. We're looking at Desmond Bane here in just a moment, but we're going to look at the rest of the two-guard position, looking at DeAnthony Melton and Grayson Allen, two players who certainly showed significant progress in terms of the quality that they can add on the court, but also, in my opinion, two players who you can sensibly see, yes, have a future with the Grizzlies, but also there are some avenues where they could be used as ways for the Grizzlies to make needed upgrades moving forward. We'll look at the seasons of Grayson Allen and DeAnthony Melton and what their futures have in store in terms of their roles with the Grizzlies, either potentially as part of their future or potentially as avenues to find better pieces for the Grizzlies' future. We'll have all that on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. If you go back to June 17th, I actually did a podcast about the chances that Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman could have to be considered for the All-NBA Rookie First Team. And in that episode, I gave some details as to, you know, some how productive each of these players were in their rookie year. So we won't focus too much on reviewing the production from them that season. If you want that information, you can go back to that show. Talked about how each, you know, in certain perspectives, you know, should have been had more consideration, in my opinion, for an All-NBA Rookie First Team selection. Desmond Bane did wind up making the second team. Xavier Tillman did not. But Desmond Bane did get 9 first place votes. And I find it very interesting, some of the names that gave him those first place votes. Doris Burke, Kevin O'Connor, Chris Mannix, Zach Lowe, and Sirat Sohi. Very popular names, more of the well-known, well-respected basketball opinions that are out there. They all felt that Desmond Bane clearly was one of the five best rookies this season. And obviously, as we discussed on that episode back on the 17th, the quality of his three-point shot is the reason why, as well as his continued improvement when it came to his across-the-board production. And the thing about it is this, is that it cannot be stated enough just how important Bane's shooting is to the Grizzlies' future. Stats show it. He was one of the more accurate three-point shooting rookies in NBA history. In my opinion, and maybe in the opinion of others, he's the best natural shooting talent this Grizzlies team has had since Mike Miller, the peak of Mike Miller's playing days for the Grizzlies in the mid-2000s. But the thing about it is that with Desmond Bane, if you dive a little bit deeper, you see that, yes, the three-point shooting certainly is there, but it only really impacts the Grizzlies' ability to shoot the three when it comes to catch-and-shoot situations. That's not any type of indictment or negative towards Desmond Bane. But even with their best shooter that they've had in over a decade, the Grizzlies still have a significant ways to go as a team when it comes to the more needed area of three-point production, in my opinion, and that is self-creation from beyond the arc. Looking at it when it comes to Desmond Bane, obviously he shot, you know, 43% from three for the year, just an absolutely outstanding year. 43% on 271 total attempts is absolutely outstanding for a rookie. But the thing is that 214 of those attempts were catch-and-shoot opportunities versus only 57 being pull-up opportunities. Now, that's not surprising. Coming into the league, Desmond Bane certainly was more noted for his catch-and-shoot spot-up three-point potential than it was his ability to create off the dribble. And you also see this when it comes to rookies. They're going to have more success in catch-and-shoot situations because it's going to take them time for them to be able to create their own shot. It's going to take time for them to improve their ball handling and for them to be able to get confidence in knowing the different nuances of creating their own shots. We saw as Bane went through the season, he certainly did improve his overall ability to shoot those pull-up three-pointers, but we'll get into that in just a second. The thing about Desmond Bane is that when you look at his catch-and-shoot ability, it's not just that it was impressive for a rookie. Desmond Bane's catch-and-shoot three-point production was actually one of the best in the league. Desmond Bane averaged 3 catch-and-shoot attempts per game for the Grizzlies. On those opportunities, he shot 45.1% from the field and had an effective, or from beyond the arc, he shot 45.1% on catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities this year. And total, for all his catch-and-shoot opportunities, he had an effective field goal percentage of 67.8%. Here are the other players this season, in at least 40 games played, who matched Bane, or who produced along with Bane, a three-point percentage of 45% or better, an effective field goal percentage of 65% or better, by averaging at least 3 catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities per game. Here is the level of production from Bane. This is the level of player that it put him on when it came to shooting catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities. The only other players to do that, again, at least 3 catch-and-shoot opportunities per game, 45% or better on those catch-and-shoot opportunities with an effective field goal percentage of 65% or better, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Joe Harris, Michael Porter Jr., Marcus Morris, Bryn Forbes, Joe Ingles, Seth Curry, CJ McCollum, and Desmond Bane. If you want any more proof, if you need any more proof, if you do, I'm sorry, but this is the added proof. This is the level of shooter that Desmond Bane is on. Again, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Harris, Michael Porter Jr., Marcus Morris, Bryn Forbes, Joe Ingles, Seth Curry, CJ McCollum, Desmond Bane. You've got several shooters in there who many put among the top 25 or 30 shooters in the game. And Desmond Bane is in that group as a rookie. That's what's so impressive about his production when it comes to being a catch-and-shoot three-point option. And there's nothing wrong with that. He is exactly what the Grizzlies needed. For a team that produces so much in the paint, to have one of the best catch-and-shoot three-point options on the outside that there is in the league is a wonderful revelation for this team. But obviously the thing is that with Bane's ability to shoot the three, you hope that as time goes on, he'll certainly be able to improve his ability to shoot his own shot, to create his own shot, because that's the bigger area where the Grizzlies need production from. That's more that being able to create your own three-point shot is a more conducive trait of a team that leads to success and playoff advancement in the playoffs than a team that can do really good shooting, catch, and shoot three-point opportunities. And while Bane overall was not nearly as productive on pull-up three-point opportunities, he did improve as the season went along. Overall this season, Desmond Bane on pull-up three-point opportunities was 20 of 57, which was good for 35.8% from the field, and a 44.1 effective field goal percentage overall on all his pull-up shot opportunities. But the bigger thing to look at is how he improved from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. Before the All-Star break, Bane only attempted 15 pull-up three-point opportunities and made 5 of them. In the second half of the season, Bane attempted 42 pull-up three-point opportunities and made 15 of them. Not only did his accuracy improve, but it improved while he tripled his overall efforts from beyond the arc. So while the numbers themselves show a big drop-off when it comes to Desmond Bane shooting the pull-up three versus the catch-and-shoot three, which you expect for a rookie, it is encouraging to see that not only was there a significant jump-up in the amount of pull-up threes he attempted in the second half of the season, but also his accuracy improved as well. So Bane certainly showed in a short amount of time he can improve that part of his game. But at the end of the day, Bane clearly is one of the best on-the-rise shooters in the NBA, one of the best young shooters in the NBA, and that is exactly what the Grizzlies have needed for in a long period of time. So his role on this team going forward, in my opinion, is exactly what we saw his role be this year. It's as a spot starter while also being on the bench, but I'll go a bit further in my opinion. I feel the Grizzlies saw how successful they could be when they started Grayson or Desmond, especially in the first quarter, but Desmond Bane playing with Ja, Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas, who we've discussed many times as a quartet, got more and more successful as the season went along. But Bane playing with those four was highly successful. That five-man lineup, Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas were the Grizzlies' best five-man lineup by far in the playoffs. But the step I'll go further is this. Once Jaren gets his health back in place, and hopefully once he gets his shooting game back going like it showed at times during his sophomore season during the 2019-2020 season, in my opinion, there is a case to be made that the Grizzlies' best starting lineup, without any major changes to their roster, I feel the Grizzlies' best starting lineup going into next season is Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, if Kyle's still on the team, I think Kyle starts. But I think that with Bane in there instead of Kyle, and with Jaren obviously hopefully back more closer to his full form as a player now that he's healthy, I feel the shooting balance that you get with Jaren, Dylan, and Desmond. Dylan and Desmond as very, very good catch-and-shoot three-point opportunities. Jaren is an inside-outside chess piece, and then the pick-and-roll option of Jonas and Ja on offense. I think that the balance that you get when it comes to the Grizzlies' offense, it's better than if you started Kyle at the three and Dylan at the two. I think that your offense is better if you start Desmond at the two and Dylan at the three. That's my opinion. We'll see if it happens, right? We'll see if it works out. But I do think that that is something that comes into play. I do think that Desmond Bane will get a closer look at him being a starter next year, especially if Kyle maybe moved in the offseason for another player or assets or whatever it may be. Now, if an upgrade happens, you're fine bringing Desmond off the bench as a three-point sniper. You're perfectly fine with that. He did absolutely amazing as a three-point sniper off the bench this year. But I do think that the Grizzlies got plenty of proof when they know they've got to improve their three-point shooting. They've still got a significant ways to go when it comes to improving their three-point shooting. I think that featuring Bane, Dillon, and Jaren as a complement to what you've got in the lane with John Jonas is a great way to go as far as the starting lineup goes next year. Does it happen? We'll see. But at the very least, Desmond Bane certainly has shown that he exceeded expectations in his rookie year. He absolutely has proven to be a needed piece for the Grizzlies going forward. And in my opinion, besides Jaren and besides Jaw, Desmond and Dillon, obviously, besides Jaw, Jaren, and Dillon, I think Desmond Bane probably has the most convincing case of being the fourth most critical part of the Grizzlies' future that's currently on their roster above anybody else. That includes Melton. That includes Clark. It's because of how good Desmond is as a shooter to support Dillon, Jaw, and Jaren. I think that there's a case that can be clearly made, and that's a full compliment to Desmond's efforts this past season and his continued efforts moving forward. Someone that has a great personality, mature beyond his years. The teammates support the heck out of him. He's a great fit for this culture and an even better fit on the court for a team that clearly needs to improve their shooting. Bane, obviously, right now is the crown jewel of options when it comes to shooting on the Grizzlies roster, and he will continue to be a big part of providing needed offensive outlets for the Grizzlies. But when it comes to Xavier Tillman, sure, he may not have as high of a ceiling in terms of his role with the Grizzlies in the immediate future that Desmond Bane does, but that should not in any way, shape, or form diminish the importance that comes from the role and versatility that Xavier Tillman showed this year. Coming up, I'm going to talk a bit more about how Xavier Tillman set himself up to have a key role for the Grizzlies' future and how his emergence this year opens up plenty of options for the Grizzlies when it comes to other members of their roster in future moves. July is almost here, and that means July is going to be an extremely fun month when it comes to sporting events. You're going to have the NHL and NBA Finals. You're going to have the MLB All-Star Game now that the MLB season is halfway through its season, the MLB draft as well as the NBA draft, and the Olympics start as well. So many different things going on, which of course means that if you enjoy wagering and betting on sports, you have so many options on the docket to be able to enjoy. And if wagering and betting is part of what makes you have fun as a fan, one place that has you covered is betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit betonline.ag today. Also, since it is July, that means the NBA draft, as we mentioned, is literally just one day from being a full month away. And starting July 19th, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey will begin featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA draft experts, Brian Scalabrini, and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Audacy, Odyssey. So once again, all this week, we will be doing our player review series. Tomorrow, we'll be looking at the rest of the two-guard position, Grayson Allen and De'Anthony Melton, two players who certainly improved this season, but also two players who, while they logically do have a place in terms of their roles on this Grizzlies team going forward, you also could logically see them being chips that could be used to make needed upgrades as time goes on. We'll discuss that and much more regarding Allen and Melton on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. But getting back into the rookies from this past year, we talked about Desmond Bane, we talked about Killian Tilly, and we talked about other young players. But one thing, player that I think, you know, we talked about on that June 17th episode, but another player who I think's role clearly is defined and is certainly secure, in my opinion, going forward, is Xavier Tillman. And as we discussed on that June 17th episode, yes, Xavier Tillman may not have been considered for a all-NBA rookie first or second team position. He may not have been a part of the rotation for a bit of the year, but the versatility that Tillman showed, as well as the fact that he clearly is a versatile option that can play many different roles on this team, that shined. And that versatility extends beyond what he came into the league showing. It also extended to opening up other parts of his game that stood out. Now, obviously, Tillman's season was back and forth in terms of his roles, right? He was thrown right into the starting lineup he started out the season not really having a role because he was coming back from injury. And then he comes back and is thrown within 15 games of his NBA career starting. He's thrown into a starting role because Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., many of the Grizzlies' front court members were unavailable. And Tillman showed right out. If you go back to that January 16th game against the 76ers, and then once again against the Suns on Martin Luther King Day, Xavier Tillman had that big stop against Tobias Harris to secure the win for the Grizzlies, then also played very well in that game against the Suns. He stripped in a one-on-one opportunity. He stole the ball from Chris Paul and led to an extra possession for the Grizzlies. So he showed his versatility in not only that he's not necessarily that big of a liability at times as a defender when he's on the perimeter, but he also showed his ability as a post defender to consistently add value. And that's what stands out about Xavier Tillman. As I mentioned on the June 17th show, there's so many different ways that Tillman offers clear positive value when he's on the court. Was among the highest rookies when it comes to average plus minus per game, net rating when he's on the court per game. Among all rookies who played at least 50 games this season and played an average 15 or more minutes in those games, Desmond Bane was second in both true shooting and effective field goal percentage. Xavier Tillman was first. So when it comes to these areas where quality is needed, good defense, smart passing, a shot selection, knowing how to do the small things, not being out of position, help defense, just the high IQ aspects of the game, Xavier Tillman shines, as he did at Michigan State. But it's not only that part of things where it stands out. You've also got the added aspect of that Xavier Tillman became a very good asset in the corner for three-point shooting opportunities. No better example of that than the huge corner three that he made in overtime against Golden State to secure the Grizzlies' victory to have a chance at the playoffs. You never would have expected Xavier Tillman to be the guy to take that shot, but he took it with confidence and he made it. And he showed that he could be a reliable option from the corner three position. You also see the added value of a good assist-to-turnover ratio when it comes to Xavier Tillman, as well as the fact that his rebounding ability also improved. So obviously, Xavier Tillman, when he's on the court, is a true added value. But stop me if you've heard this story before when it comes to a backup big man for the Grizzlies. Because obviously, this is the second straight year the Grizzlies have had a rookie be like this when you consider what Brandon Clark did during the 2019-2020 season. And that's what leads me to the discussion about the role that Xavier Tillman has on this team moving forward. Now, he's got 3 years left on his contract. Obviously, Tillman is a serviceable backup big. You also know that he adds to the culture with how close he is with Jaren Jackson and how much others certainly have, you know, come to him as far as him being an established part of this culture. Do I think that Xavier Tillman ever emerges as a true starting five option next to Jaren that makes you not worry about extending Jonas Valanciunas a year from now or something like that? I don't. I don't think that's the case as of right now. I think that, like Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman is clearly a very valuable member of your bench that you could start on the spot. But do I think he necessarily is the long-term complement to Jaren as the center in the future? I don't at this time. And that's nothing against Xavier Tillman. It's just that I don't know if his upside is as of that. I think he can be for stretches, but I don't necessarily know if you sit here and lock him in as being, you know, the front court partner for Jaren over the next 5 to 7 years. But the thing is that he is the one other option on this team right now that can play the center position and that you know can allow for you to rest Jonas when you need to. Kind of like what we discussed with Tyus Jones. When Ja Morant's off the court, you've got to have someone to be able to handle the point guard duties. That's what Tyus Jones does. Well, when it comes to Jonas being off the court, you need someone who can clearly play that five. You don't necessarily know if you want Brandon Clark or Jaren doing it right now, but you know Xavier Tillman can handle it, so you put him there. But at the end of the day, it's going to be very interesting to see. Because in my opinion, Brandon Clark still, though he's, you know, significantly older, and obviously he's coming off, you know, a little bit less than ideal season, I do feel he still has the higher upside. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with, over the next few years, seeing through how this situation develops with Clark, Tillman, and Jaren Jackson Jr. being major parts of your front court. But at the end of the day, I do think that something's going to come to a head. I think that something is going to come to fruition. Whether it be Tillman or Clark being involved in a trade to bring in an upgrade elsewhere, or you see the second contracts for these players, especially when it comes to next year, when you may potentially see the Grizzlies start to look at extension talks for Brandon Clark. That's going to be a very interesting way, a very interesting development when it comes to, does Brandon Clark stay with the Grizzlies beyond his rookie contract? Last year, you certainly answered the question yes, with how good he was his rookie year. And I don't think that anything should be taken away from that. I don't think that this season for Clark, where he was clearly injured, should in any way significantly lower the expectations that he can build off his rookie year and be more than that going forward. But where Tillman comes into play in that is that the Grizzlies now do know they have a serviceable alternative long-term as far as a front court option goes off the bench in Xavier Tillman, that it makes more options available when it comes to Brandon Clark. Perhaps the Grizzlies may be a bit more, you know, open to the idea of dangling Clark as the major, you know, needle-moving type addition to a package to make in a trade over the next 12 to 18 months. Perhaps the Grizzlies could look and say, okay, with Clark, maybe there's different lineups we can use him in. Maybe, you know, that backup, maybe the existence of Clark and Tillman, especially if Clark shows to be healthy this offseason, maybe the existence of those two makes the Grizzlies consider a trade to send out a Valanciunas or a Kyle Anderson, either this summer or before the trade deadline. I'm not saying that's likely, but I am saying that the emergence of Tillman either lets the Grizzlies have more options in terms of what they could do in the long term with Clark, or the duo of Tillman and Clark gives the Grizzlies the ability to have a bit more confidence over the next several months to see what they could do by trading Kyle Anderson or Jonas Valanciunas. At the end of the day, just like I stated with Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones, I think there's a more than a 70% chance Anderson, Valanciunas, Clark, and Tillman are all in the Grizzlies next year. But again, at the end of the day, you also want creative options. You want as many creative options on the table for a front office that has shown it can make the most out of having all the options on the table. And that's what I think Xavier Tillman does. I think that the existence or the emergence of Xavier Tillman not only solidifies his role in this team moving forward, at the very least as the third to fourth big based off who's on the roster, but I also think that his emergence and how well he played this year, I also think that you clearly now have a reliable alternative to other options that you have, and those other options that are older, a Clark, an Anderson, a Valanciunas, you now can explore what they could possibly bring in via trades. Or you may not necessarily look at them as being extension options like you once did because you found Xavier Tillman. And that's the value that Tillman offers. He offers plenty of significant value himself through his play and what he does for this team. But the even more important thing, in my opinion, is that he's now a viable alternative that gives this Grizzlies team more options and more pieces on the roster they can use to be aggressive in whatever way they see fit as time goes on in the near future. That's what drafting well does, and that's what bringing in guys like Bane and Tillman, who are a great part of the culture, but also great options to use in different roles on the court, that's what drafting those type of guys does for a team in the midst of a rebuild. It gives you options, and that's all the Grizzlies need to be able to make the most of their opportunities, and as Bane and Tillman's success their rookie years show, the Grizzlies not only can do that through the draft, but they also can do that in identifying players they can go and get that are already in the NBA, and hopefully we'll see them get in the near future as they continue to look for upgrades for this roster to evolve. So another great year, the third straight year where the Grizzlies have really had encouraging signs from either one or multiple rookies. And you hope certainly that that continues obviously this year with the draft, but you also know with confidence Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman are truly big parts of the Grizzlies' future, and they're here to stay in supporting Ja and Jaren as this roster and this core continue to improve to becoming a sustainable winner. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. My name is Sean Coleman. Pleasure to be with you again. We'll be back with you tomorrow to discuss Grayson Allen and De'Anthony Melton. Successful seasons, but still some limitations when it comes to them as players. And what does their futures look like? Maybe not so guaranteed that either Melton or Allen are long-term fits for this Grizzlies roster. We'll discuss that and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Talk to you then.